Well, good morning. So we're in week two of our series, Divine Disruptions. And you know, last week I kind of mentioned as we get disruptions in our life, we kind of handle them different ways. You know, in some ways it depends on who it is who's disrupting us. You know, if it's someone we care about, someone we love, and they disrupt us, we kind of treat a little differently than maybe someone who we don't really care about, or maybe someone we've had an argument with and they disrupt us, we may treat a little differently. But ultimately, as we go through this series, we're going to see these disruptions in Jesus' life. Where Jesus is doing something, he gets a disruption, and he handles every disruption differently, but he handles each of them in the right way. You know, unlike us, where sometimes we may come off and be angry or upset or we blow the person off, Jesus takes these disruptions and takes these moments to have a divine opportunity with people. And this week, we're going to be looking at, and actually read part of the scripture last week. We're going to be in Mark chapter 2. And what we see is this healing power of Jesus. Jesus heals someone who is paralyzed. Now you think about it, you're talking about someone who's paralyzed. In most cases, we know if someone's paralyzed, even with modern medicine today, chances are they may never walk again. But Jesus puts all that aside and with a word heals this person. Now, a lot of times when you hear about this scripture, you know, we all know, oh, these four friends, you know, they carried him up and they dug a hole in the roof and they lowered this man to Jesus. And a lot of times the whole sermon's based on them four friends. And then other times it's based on, you know, man, in here you look at Jesus really took these religious snobs and he put them in their place. Which I think would be a good sermon. I'll have to preach on that side of it one day because I think we all like when Jesus puts religious snobs in their place, because I'm sure there's times we've wanted to do the same thing. We know these people who are like religious snobs and it's kind of like you're a sinner just like I am and we want to put them in their place. So we may have to look at that one day. But then there's other times that as we look at this scripture, you can actually see a picture of our own salvation in the healing of this paralytic. But today I want to take a different angle. I want to preach from a totally different angle on it. And, you know, I actually asked Andrea to, hey, do me a favor. You know, that song, Tearing Off the Roof. Can we worship to that again this week? You know, she played the end of last week. And if you look at your sheet, actually says the name of this sermon is Tearing Off the Roof. And, you know, I think we need to really look at, do we tear off the roof to get to Jesus? Or do we remove the clay? And the reason I say, you know, we need to remove the clay is the way that the roofs were made back in that day. But we'll get to that as we go into this sermon. We're going to be in Mark chapter 2. We're going to be in verses 1 through 12. If you don't have a Bible with you, there is one in the back of the pew in front of you. And in there, it's on page 1,152. But as always, it will be up here on the screen. So Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. At this time, I'd like to ask everyone to all rise for the reading and the hearing of God's word. So Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. When he entered Capernaum again after some days, it was reported that he was at a home. So many people gathered together that there was no more room, not even in the doorway, and he was speaking the word to them. They came to him bringing a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they were not able to bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and after digging through it, they lowered the mat on which the paralytic was lying. Seeing their faith, Jesus told the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." But some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does he speak like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Right away, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were thinking like this within themselves, and said to them, why are they thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he told the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Immediately he got up, took the mat, and went out in front of everyone. As a result, they were astonished and gave glory to God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. So what we see here is we see this, these men, they wanted to get their paralyzed friend to Jesus. And I think about this on, you know, they're in a house, many theologians, and it's pretty common that they were actually in the house of Simon Peter. So they're in Simon Peter's house, and all these people are gathered around to where there's no room. They can't even get through the front door. Now you think about it, these four friends had to be just looking, hey, how can we do this? You know, whenever you get four guys together, we're going to come up with a solution because guys are fix-it people, right? We're going to come up with a solution, and you always have this one guy who's the guy who's out there, hey, dude, I know what we'll do. Let's go ahead. Let's climb on the roof and tear it off. And someone else is like, dude, that's Peter's house, man. You don't want to do that. You know. And then there's this other friend that's like a doer. You say he's going to do it. You know, you're like, hey, run to that wall. And he runs into the wall. So all of a sudden he's like, no, dude, come on, let's go. We're going to go tear off the roof. We're going to take this roof off. We're going to look because that's what we got to do. But what got me is I think about who's inside the house. You figure inside this house was a bunch of the disciples. We had some scribes. You probably had some Pharisees. So inside the house, close to Jesus, you had all these people who knew Jesus and spent time with Jesus. And here on the outside, you got someone who's hurting. You got a paralytic. You got someone on the outside. And no one on the inside was willing to give up their seat for the person coming in from the outside. No one was willing to give up their seat for someone who was hurting. And that's a whole different angle that I'm going to have to preach on that another day because, man, well, I could go on that forever. Because, unfortunately, in today's church, you have that same people. People who are close to Jesus who don't want to let in the person on the outside. But that'll be for another day. So today what we're going to do is we're going to sit here and we want to look at it. I want to look at this whole tearing off the roof. Tearing off this roof, you think about it, in biblical times, roofs were made in two different ways. There were two different ways they were made. Basically, they had these wood beams on it, and from the wood beams, and they had sticks going in the other direction on it, and then from there, some of them, they put clay tiles on it, and then they'd cover it with clay, and then they'd put grass over top of it. So that was one way a roof was made. The other way, you still had the beams and the sticks, but they interlaced clay tiles over the top of it. And so ultimately what happened is you got these guys and all the houses back in that days, you could access the roof by a set of stairs on the outside. Wouldn't it be nice to have a set of stairs on the outside so you could access the roof of your house? Especially if you live in my neighborhood and every 2 years you got to pressure wash your roof. So you got to break out the ladder. It'd be a whole lot easier with stairs. But that's a whole different subject. So they had these stairs on the side so they could access it. So here these guys, you know, the one, hey, let's go tear off the roof. This other guy, let's do it. And you notice it took all four of them to get him up there. So they get up there and they start tearing through. So what do they got to do? They got to tear off the roof in order to get to Jesus. In other words, they need to remove the clay and get the clay out of the way. Now, when you look through the Bible, a lot of times the clay is a reference to our sinful flesh. It's our body and the flesh of our body. And you think about, you know, in the Old Testament, it talks about the potter and the clay and how nice it is that we know that we have a heavenly potter who actually molds us and takes the clay of us and molds us into something that glorifies his name. And what a blessing it is to know that, hey, this old clay, this sinful nature in my flesh can actually be molded by my heavenly potter or my heavenly father. But a lot of times what happens is you know, that old clay needs to get taken out. We need to get that clay out of the way, and you need to remove the clay to tear off the roof in order to be able to get to Jesus. And what I want to look at today is this whole, what does it look like when our clay or when our roof gets uncovered or gets broken up? And you think about what the paralytic and what their friends saw. Now, mind you, they would have been up on the roof and no one would have even known they were there. They wouldn't have seen them. And while they're up on that roof, you think about it, they're on the roof. They've got, you know, beams and sticks and clay and more clay, and it's thick, and Jesus is inside. They can probably just barely hear the voice of Jesus. They can't physically see Jesus because the roof is in the way. The clay of the flesh is in the way. And when they finally start tearing it apart, even the people inside don't know they're there until they finally break through. And once they remove that roof, they tore off the roof, they removed that clay, they could then hear and see Jesus. Well, we got that same problem. If we don't remove this clay, if we don't remove this sinful flesh that we have, sometimes we can't hear Jesus. And we definitely don't see Jesus in our life because we got this barrier between us and him. So as we look at this, the perspective of this paralytic and of the friends, I think one of the things we need to see is understand that once we remove that clay, once we tear off the roof, Jesus is discernible. Once you remove that sin, once you remove those things out of the life, and just as they remove that roof, they could actually then see Jesus. They could then hear his voice. They could then look up and see these people that were coming through the roof. And I think that nothing hides the face of Jesus more than ourselves, than our own sinful flesh. We can't hear his voice. We can't see him because of our own selves. We get in our own way, and there comes a time when we need to tear off that roof. We need to remove this clay from us. You think about it, our attitudes, our actions, affections, even our fears affect the way we see and we hear Jesus. The failures in our life, the foolishness in our life, even our shortcomings affect the way that we see Jesus. As we go through and, you know, and we got this greed inside of us, or we got these grudges or this hate for other people or other things or whatever our hurt, hang up or habit is that we're going through in our life, all prevent us from seeing and hearing the voice of Jesus. That's all part of that clay, that fleshly desire that we have in this life, that Adam-like nature that brought sin into the world that we live with each and every day. And unfortunately, in today's world, it just keeps getting worse and worse. And so many times we fall back into whatever it is we've been going through that prevents us from hearing the voice and from seeing Jesus in our life. Nothing hinders my walk more with Jesus than I do. And the reality is, nothing hinders your walk with Jesus more than you do. We get in our own way more than anything else. But there comes a time when the clay of this flesh needs to be uncovered. We need to see the clay of our flesh for what it is, the evil that is with it. We need to actually break up this clay, break up this roof, get it out of the way, and come before him with repentance in order to have that separation from the fall, be able to be who he calls us to be. We need to get ourselves fixed so that we can see him whole. And sometimes it requires us to tear off the roof. Get the clay out of the way. Take yourself and put yourself behind, almost behind me, Satan. Get myself behind, because when this sinful flesh, we fall short. And you know, as I think of all through life, you know, the sheep need to see the shepherd, the brides need to see the bridegroom, the son needs to see the father, and us as Christ followers need to see Jesus in our life. We need to feel his presence. We need to hear his voice. We need to know that he is here by us. But so many times we prevent ourselves from doing that because we get so caught up in this world. I think the other thing, when the clay's removed, when that roof's removed, the desire, they desired to get in there to see Jesus, that desirability, it became that much more. And I think we run into the same thing as we're walking through this life and as we spend time in God's Word and we start to hear his voice more and we see him doing things in our life, that desire we have becomes even more desirable. We want it more and more. You know? And there's something about you see some people who's just, you know, they can't help themselves. You got some people who, you know, when you go up and talk to them, they're going to tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you what Jesus has done in my life today. Man, let me tell you how Jesus is speaking to me. Let me tell you, and they just can't handle it, and you're sitting there and you're like, man, why are they like that? You know, they just can't handle it. They're like out there. Why? And I kind of think of it this way. Maybe they've removed more of the roof than you have. Maybe they've gotten rid of more of the clay, that sinful flesh, than you have. And you know, you may hear the voice of God, but, you know, then there's times you don't hear it, and this other person seems like, man, it's like Jesus is next to them having a conversation. And you're like, man, I want that. And a lot of times what it is they've removed that clay. They've gotten that clay out of the way. They've torn off the roof. They've taken that time to do what God called them to do. They desired to hear his voice. They desired to be closer to him, that they removed that clay. They got all that clay, that sinful flesh, out of their way to move forward. Now, it doesn't mean that they're perfect. None of us will ever be perfect till we meet Jesus face to face. They've just cleaned more of that clay away. They've removed more of it. As we remove this, I think it's part of it we get to see, just like the paralytic. You get to be in the presence of Jesus. You know, as they took away this clay, as they tore off the roof, what were they able to do? They were able to lower the paralytic to Jesus. So now as we do the same thing in our own life, as we deal with this sin, this greed, whatever it may be going on with our life, we get to get more into the presence of Jesus. We get to see him. And what I find totally amazing here is something that we talk about, but we actually see it from these four friends. They're four friends of this paralytic. This paralytic had to be a burden in their life. You know, it's, man, you think about it, he's paralyzed. He can't do nothing for himself. Someone had to feed him. They had to bathe him. They had to take him everywhere he needed to go. And guess what? They didn't have wheelchairs back in the day. They didn't have power chairs. They literally would have had to pick this person up and carry them every place they were going to be. So guess what? This person was probably a burden in their lives. But by tearing off the roof, they were able to lay their burden at the feet of Jesus. We need to do that same thing. We need to be able to tear off the roof, get the clay out of the way, and lay our burdens at the feet of Jesus. And that's exactly what happens when you tear off the roof. You're able to go to the one who's able to bring healing in your life and lay those burdens at the feet of Jesus. But you got to tear off the roof. I think we discover a blessing through it. You know, you think about it here. All of a sudden, this roof opens up. Jesus looks up and he sees these four guys up there with a guy on a mat lowering him down. Imagine this disruption. You know, Jesus had to be teaching. He was in there. He was teaching in the house. And all of a sudden, like, what? I'm sure Peter wasn't happy. They just ripped a hole in his roof. Talk about being disrupted. But here Jesus looks up at him and he sees, and what does he see? He sees the faith of the four friends. There's a blessing that comes with that faith. He actually commends them and on the basis of their faith heals the paralyzed person. He heals the paralyzed person based on someone else's faith, because they're willing to tear off the roof. They're willing to get that clay out of the way. And we have that same blessing coming to us. We can have that same faith, but we got to be willing to tear it up. You got to be willing to say, you know, this old flesh is holding me back. It's time to tear it up. It's time to tear off the roof, get this clay out of the way, and move on with what Jesus has called us to move on. God can't bless us the way he wants until we get the clay out of the way. We need to get it out of the way. And until our flesh, your and my flesh, is dealt with, we can forget a revival. Revival start in everyone's heart. You can forget it. If you're not taking care of your flesh, you're never going to have that revival in your heart. You're never going to see a revival in your community, in your family, inside the church. We need to deal with our flesh. And when we uncover our flesh for what it actually is, and we remove it from our life, we're able to glorify God. We're able to then have that revival, not only in our own lives, but every place we go to. But we need to take those steps. I can tell you that, do you know what's the biggest cause and that will cause more trouble within this church than anything else? And guess what? It ain't Satan. It ain't the devil. It's each one of us. It's each one of our own sinful flesh. It's each one of our own grudges. It's each one of our own greed. It's each one of our own, this is the way I think it should be, instead of being about God. So as we, as Christ followers, as we come together and we recognize our failures, we recognize our flaws, and we give them to the side and we give them to Jesus, we wreck the roof in our lives, get rid of the clay, and come and see him for who he is, he can then bring that healing, he can bring that revival to our churches, our communities, our homes, and then the blessings that come with it. Is there anyone here who doesn't want to be blessed by God? And how many times are we in our own way? We're in our own way because we're allowing the sinful flesh, we're allowing this, whatever it is that's in us, and we're refusing to get the clay out of the way. But we've got to move it to get it to be continue to move forward. I think the other thing that we see here is this paralytic and these four friends that got to experience the power of Jesus. We know there is power in the name of Jesus, but here I think it's twofold that they see. The first thing the paralytic sees is in verse 5, he sees that cleansing power of Jesus. Think about it, in verse 5, he says, your sins are forgiven. There's power in the forgiveness. There's power in being forgiven by Jesus, and here we see that power from Jesus. Jesus gives that same power to us. We have that ability to know that our sins are forgiven. We just need to go and see Jesus. We need to tear off the roof, get at his feet, give him our burdens, and receive that forgiveness that he has for us. Now, we don't know if the paralytic is very possible for him to say, your sins are forgiven, that maybe he was paralyzed because of some sin. We don't know the whole backstory of it. We just know he was paralyzed. And we know Jesus told him his sins are forgiven. And I think that as we look at this, as our clay is taken away, we're able to be cleansed by the Lord. We're able to have that cleansing power that he gives us. And when we uncover that clay in our lives through confession, and we break up that clay in our lives through repentance, it opens that door for that forgiveness from Jesus and for that healing that he brings us. Now understand, maybe that what you need cleansing for is that sin that only you know about, or that sin that you think you only know about because he knows about it also. Well, maybe it's that sin that, guess what, everyone in the room already knows it. It's like the elephant in the room. Everyone knows that sin. Maybe that sin in your life is, you know, little white lies. Maybe whatever it is, it's this public sin. You know, he can forgive that. If it's a sin that only you think you know, he can forgive that. Maybe it's a bitter spirit in your life. Guess what? He can forgive that also. Maybe it's a lack of love you have for fellow Christians. He can fix that and he can forgive that also. Whatever it is that's keeping you away from him, he can forgive that. He can fix that. He willingly went to the cross to die for you for the forgiveness of your sins. But until we get that clay out of the way, we're never going to experience that forgiveness. We got to be willing to accept our failures in life and give them to him. Allow him to forgive us. I think the other thing we see a changing power. In verses 10 through 12, it tells us that Jesus didn't just touch him on the inside, but he touched him on the outside. Jesus changed this man's life forever. He changed his life forever. Him and his four friends. Here you think about it. This man was carried in, laid at the feet of Jesus, and he got up and walked out. He walked out. He was able to walk away because of the healing power of Jesus. He was able to get up, pick up his mat, and leave. That's a changing power. There's people in this room right now that need that changing power. They need you. You need to hear Jesus say, your sins are forgiven. Pick up your mat and go. And you need to be willing to pick up your mat, whatever it is, and move on. But it all starts with getting up on that roof and tearing that roof off, getting that clay out of the way, getting rid of whatever it is that's inside of you that's preventing you from being at the feet of Jesus. You need to get rid of. You need to take that time and be open and honest with yourself, because guess what? He already knows. We may not know. The person sitting next to you may not know, but he knows what it is. And you need to get rid of it. Get it gone. Tear it off. Let him fix it. Let the potter fix that clay. But you got to break it up first. You got to tear it off. Give it to him so he can do what he's capable of doing with it. Before this man met Jesus, he could do nothing. He could do nothing at all. But when that clay was taken away, he walked differently. When our clay is taken away, we walk differently. We walk differently in everything that we do. It can happen when we tear off the roof. It'll change your walk. It'll change your prayer life. It'll change your vocal praise. It will change your excitement level. It will change everything about you when you actually take that time to do what God called you to do. When you tear off the roof, you remove that clay, you give your burden to Jesus, and you're able to hear his voice and see him, it will change your life. We all need our life changed. We all need to tear off our roof. We need to be willing to make that sacrifice for what he wants us to do. And it's not easy, because like I've said it before, my favorite three people are me, myself, and I. Guess what? Your favorite three people are probably the same. Even if you don't want to admit it, my wife knows it already. Patty knows my favorite three people are me, myself, and I. Don't turn to your wife or husband and say, You know that, me, myself, and I. Remember, it's Mother's Day. It's all about me. Right, ladies? Men over there going, Pastor, really? But that's our favorite people. We all like ourselves. And unfortunately, I kind of like my clay, I like my roof. It protects me. You know what it protects me from? Everybody else. Exactly. It protects me from y'all. It protects me from the world. I happen to like it. But you know what else it does? It keeps me from being at the feet of Jesus. It keeps me from hearing his voice. It keeps me from seeing him in my life. It prevents me from the blessings that he wants for me, because I'm not willing to do what he calls me to do. I don't want to tear off the roof. I don't want to remove the clay. I like me the way I am. But in order to be changed, in order to see and hear and be blessed, you need to tear off the roof. You need to get the clay out of the way. Someone here today has so much clay built up, you may need a jackhammer to get it done. Guess what? It's worth it. It's worth it as you get that clay out of the way to be able to see Jesus for who he is. Have you uncovered the clay in your life? Have you allowed that clay to be broken? If not, there is no better place to allow it to be broken than here at the altar of the Lord. He says his burden is light. How many burdens are you carrying in your life because you've got all that clay just built up? And it's time we need to start breaking it down. Start breaking it down and realize that, Lord, I need your forgiveness. I need you. I need you more than I need anything else in my life. The paralytic needed Jesus more than anything else in his life. His four friends loved him enough that they lowered him and did whatever it took to get him to the feet of Jesus. What's preventing you from getting to the feet of Jesus? Whatever it is, it's time to tear it up. Wreck it, tear it up, break it up, whatever you need to do so that you can be at the feet of Jesus. He knows what you're going through. He knows exactly what you're going through. Whatever it is that you've been thinking of during this, man, pastor been bugging my house again. Guess what? No, I haven't. Because the reality is, guess what? If you're going through it, so is somebody else. If you think I'm talking to you, guess what? I'm talking to the person next to you too. Because the reality is, it's not me. That's the Holy Spirit going inside and touching you and letting you know, hey, here's your clay. Here's that clay you need to get rid of. Here's what's holding you back. You want to know why you can't hear my voice? You know why you don't see me doing things in your life, maybe like someone else? Because you need to get this clay out of the way. And he's pointing out that clay in your life. It's time to get the clay out of the way. Tear off the roof. Whatever it may be, leave it here today. Leave it right here on his altar. Be willing to say, you know what, Lord, I need to tear off the roof. Today is the day. And then if you leave it here at the altar, guess what? I ain't going to let you come back and pick it back up. Because when you leave it here, I'm throwing it away. We're going to vacuum it up, sweep it up, whatever it is. The only way you're going to get it back is by rebuilding it yourself. So if you tear off that roof and you break that clay away so that you can see and hear Jesus, and all of a sudden you stop seeing and hearing him again, guess what? You rebuilt your roof. You recovered it with clay. You allowed the bad clay, that sinful nature in your life, to build back up and prevent you from hearing and seeing Jesus. Break up the clay. Wreck the roof. There is no other power greater than his. Wreck the roof. I've wrecked my roof too many times than I can explain. And I rebuild it. I've been there. I've done it. You know how many people I've seen wreck their roof, get that clay out of the way, start living a life they're called to live, and then go back to their old life? And then all of a sudden they're like, well, I don't understand why. Because you allowed the old you to take over again. Remember, when we accept Jesus, we become this new creation. We're this new person. We're supposed to be different than who we used to be. But we allow that old to creep back in. Whatever that hurt, whatever that hang up, whatever that habit is that had a hold of us, We allow Satan to let it come back into our life because we make that choice. Don't rebuild the roof. Wreck the roof, get the clay out of the way, and leave it out of the way. You can look up and see the heavens and the stars. Wreck the roof. Wreck the roof. Get rid of that clay. I want to encourage you today that if there's something, whatever that clay is in your life, during this final worship song, you can come up here to the altar, kneel, have a conversation with God, and wreck the roof. Wreck the roof and leave it right here at this altar. Leave it at the altar. At the end of the song, I'll be up here. We'll have some others up here. If you want someone to pray with, come on up here. We'll be more than happy to pray with you and for you. As you wreck that roof, as you get that clay out of the way, hey, we're going to be right there interceding with you with prayer. And maybe that wrecking of the roof or, you know, tearing down of the roof and getting that clay out of the way is you finally need to, you know what, I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I can honestly tell you when you accept Jesus for who he is, as the Lord, as your master, as your God, it will change your life. There is something incredible about seeing Jesus for who he is. And maybe you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You're like, man, Pastor, I'm way too messed up. You don't understand, my clay is way too thick. Well, the reality is we're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. But yet God showed his love for us that yet while we were still sinners, get that, yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to get perfect because he would have never died. He died for us while we were still sinners. And God's word says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Tear off the roof. Tear off the roof and let Jesus into your life. Have him become your Lord, your Savior, your God. Tear off the roof. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything you do in our lives. And Lord, we thank you for moms on this Mother's Day, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that you loved us enough that you willfully went and died on a cross for us. But Lord, we've got work to do. We've got to tear off the roof. We've got to get the clay out of the way. Because Lord, that clay, that roof prevents us from hearing your voice and from seeing your face. Lord, help us to hear you clearly as we go through this life. Help us to feel your presence and to see you in every step that we take. And Lord, if there's anyone here who needs to get that clay out of the way, Lord, I just ask that they make that move, come up here to the altar, and give it to you. Lord, that they do not leave here today without tearing off the roof. And Lord, if there's anyone here who doesn't know you, Lord, that they will tear off the roof and that they will come into your presence and ask you to be their Lord, to be their God, to be the master of their life. And Lord, make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, thanks again for joining us here today at FBC Lantana for Church Online. And if you enjoyed what you saw today, I'd just like to ask you to go ahead, go to our website and help support this ministry as we try and outreach and reach the lost for Jesus Christ. And you can just go to our website, fbclantana.com/give, and you can make an online donation right there. Again, I encourage you to get connected to a local church, and especially if during this message you felt compelled to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, definitely go tell somebody. Let someone know, because that is the greatest decision you could ever make in your life. And from there, get connected to a local church. Hey, we would love to provide you with some resources with that. You can go to our website, fbclantana.com, and on the very front page, you say, "Give my life to Jesus." Click on there, and at the bottom of there, there's some links and some good information for you. And just wanted to say, welcome to the family.